open wide from the depths, from the heights. I'm a grain, a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry. I'm a grain, a sacrifice. Again, keeping on that theme of victory, if there are chains that are holding you back or weighing you down, we want you to know that our Savior is a chain breaker and that freedom is His desire for you. Let's proclaim it as we sing the song. Amen. You know, I hope that when you're found in a mess or when you're found struggling, that you choose to run towards the Father. You know, my earthly dad taught me that there was nothing my brother and I could do where we couldn't come to him for advice and help. There was times when he was disappointed, but he was always helpful, and he never yelled at us in those moments of trial. And he really gave me a vision of how a father should respond. And, you know, I found that my heavenly father, as much as my earthly father embraced me, my heavenly father embraces me even more. And he is so pleased when we run to him, when we come to him in times of need, and we come to him in times of trouble. And so if you're a believer here today, I want to encourage you that you are going to be at your best in his presence. And so if you find yourself in a mess, run to him. The chorus of this song says, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. I hope that his love is enough for you today. Let's sing Forever Rain.
Let's go.
This is a song we've been doing for a little while now. You know, I love proclaiming the blessing of God on his people. And you know, when we take that step of faith, when we start our journey with God, to know that he longs to bless you is a pretty incredible place to be. You know, it seems like at first when we start to walk with the Lord, we're overwhelmed, right? And we find it hard to receive, right? And sometimes we block that sometimes, right? But as we mature in him, we start to understand that it's his joy to bless us and that he longs to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour down upon us. We want you to know that the blessing is a very real thing, and let's proclaim it as we sing this song, The Blessing, today.
Lord, bless you. Upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
welcome to church. How's everybody doing? Everybody feeling good? Yeah, I found my coffee from first service. It was like a special treat. It's like that little blessing. It's the gold at the end of the rainbow. It's lukewarm. I wouldn't say it's warm. No, it's pretty cold. But anyway, it's still caffeine. I've been kind of excited. You know, we've been praying about this whole service and where we would be heading in the summer months as we prepare for fall, and what could we throw back and forth as far as some teaching goes. And this week, I knew that I was on the right track because there was lots of opposition. Have you ever felt that? When you're on the right track, then the devil tries to knock you off. I was painting the house this week. I decided that I was young enough to do it in one day. So I started Tuesday morning early. I was cleaning up at 9 o'clock at night, and I needed no encouragement to go to bed. Meanwhile, I was stung by 3 different wasp nests while I was painting the house, and they attacked my face. And so by 9 o'clock, I couldn't see. It was dark, but I was putting away things literally in the dark because my eyes were swollen shut. And I said, that's interesting. Then I looked kind of freakish the rest of the week. And then near the end of the week, I was driving the bike trying to make my life make a little more sense and feel a little more normal and to take one of those deep breaths that you do whenever you need to cope with life. And another wasp decided that it wanted to get inside my shirt. And I knew this because it started to sting me multiple times. That's how I knew it was a wasp. And finally, after doing this and looking like a crazy man on my bike, I got him. But he had gotten me about 5 times before that. So anyway, I always know that I'm on the right path when I have all of those distractions that come my way. But we've been praying about where we're going to head over the next few weeks. And I've been really coming to this understanding that we should be talking about our faith. And our faith is really an important part of our walk, because really it's the beginning of our walk, isn't it? And I want to ask you, how is your faith doing today? You know, it's interesting to me, when I think of my journey of faith, there were so many things that I couldn't see before faith that my eyes were open to after I first took that leap of faith. And I was kind of thinking of this illustration and found this picture, and I want this to be the background of the slides for the next few weeks. Faith. See the cross? It's the cross that often is the bridge to the things that we could never experience in life without faith. It's a bridge to bigger things. And it's kind of amazing to me that there are so many things that before Christ were unreachable or unthinkable for me, that once faith began, all of a sudden, I started to realize that there was a bigger world that I could experience as a spiritual being. I was thinking back over some of the illustrations that I wanted to use for this, and the next picture is one of those. How many people have seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Anybody? An old classic. I don't know if you like those adventure movies, but there's this one point in the movie where Indiana Jones is trying to find, what was it? He was going for the Holy Grail in this one. Right? Search for the Holy Grail, and he's looking. He had to go through several tests. And this one test in particular, is I had it on my mind all week. In fact, I went back and watched the clip of the movie. It was called The Leap of Faith. And he comes to this leap of faith, and before him is this chasm where if he falls, he's going to go to his death, and he sees the doorway across the chasm in which he's supposed to get to continue his journey, and he goes, "This is insane! I'm not going to step out, leap of faith. Are you kidding me? I'll leap to my death," right? And finally, he knows that time is running out, and he shuts his eyes, and I can still see it in the movie. He puts his foot out, and he steps, and he goes, "Whoa." And then he changes the angle in which he's looking at the chasm, and he sees, carved out of the similar rock that is on the cavern walls, is a bridge that couldn't be distinguished by the eye at that angle. And he takes some sand, and he throws it across the bridge so that those who are following will be able to step out without fear. Has God ever asked you to take a leap of faith? Well, sure he did. If you're a believer here with me today, the reality is there comes a point when your spiritual journey had to begin. And faith asked you to do something that didn't seem very logical. It became a very scary step. It's what Hebrews 11 talks about in verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." that there are moments as a believer that get easier, but the first are very frightening, where we are to have confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we don't see. Are you kidding me? That God asks us to begin our journey with a leap of faith is a pretty phenomenal thing that any of us find the Lord, because it's such a scary thing to do. I was thinking of that old joke of this feller who was trying to get the best picture that he could, so he stood on the edge of a cliff, and the whole valley was below him, and he's trying to get the perfect picture, and all of a sudden, it's just a little out of focus, so he takes a little step forward, and the bank gives way, and he falls, and he grabs onto a tree that's hanging out of the bank, and he's like, help, right? He looks down, and he's like, oh, I'm going to die, help, right? And he waits and he waits, and his arms are starting to burn and the lactic acid is starting to build up, and he knows that he's tiring, and he still cries one last time, help! And then all of a sudden in the silence, he hears this voice that says, let go. And he goes, what? Who's there? And he goes, it's God. Let go. I'll catch you. And the guy looks below him and he sees nothing. He says, I'm going to fall to my death. He says, let go. I will catch you. Then he thinks for a second, and then he looks back up and he goes, is there anybody else there? Right? Faith is tough. There are times when God asks you to let go. There are times when God asks you to step out in a leap of faith. And really, that's how our journey begins. That's how we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in our spiritual journey. Faith is that spiritual birth. What we are doing in life, again, before Christ, think of your life. What we are doing doesn't work. The plans that we make seem to fail. The things that we hope for good seem to turn to mud. Time and time again, before Jesus, I had great plans, and every time great plans let me down. And then all of a sudden, I started to investigate the faith of my mom and dad, and I said, you know what? They have this foundation that seems unshakable. That when the world is falling apart, their world doesn't seem to be falling apart. So I started to investigate that, and I started to look into world religions. And part of my journey took me, of course, to Jesus, because that's what they proclaimed. But their Jesus wasn't my Jesus. But when I started to look at the life of Christ and the history of Christ, and I started to say, this guy taught something very different than the world. He did something very different than I've been doing. That here's a man who taught me that when somebody hit me on the right side, that I could turn to him the other cheek. Here is a man who prayed for those people who persecuted them. And as I studied his life, I came to this idea that when his life ended, wow, wait a minute. Here is a guy who said he would conquer the grave, and then the tomb was empty. Is that true? Is that fact? History records it. And it wasn't just the Christian writers. There was Roman writers. There was Jewish writers who recorded it as well. And as I started to think about that, I said, you know what? The Roman Empire had everything to lose. Jesus was creating chaos. They wanted him gone. The greatest empire, the mightiest army, had everything to lose if the grave was found empty. So what did they do? They sealed it and they guarded it. And you're telling me that some fishermen, some crazy old fishermen, were able to outsmart the Roman government and all of its power? Jesus rose. Jesus conquered the thing that I was taught to fear, which was death. Jesus did what I couldn't do. There came a moment when my faith became my spiritual birth, and I said, God, you are the way. I am lost. And my spiritual journey began. My spiritual birth began. And then I started to understand, guess what? That faith not only led me to a spiritual birth, but faith was substantial. It was a real substance. It was something that I could take hold of. It was something that could be measured. And as I studied the Word of God, like one of those examples comes from Matthew 8. When you go home today, read Matthew 8. It's one of those fascinating chapters in the Bible, but it talks about this idea that faith is substantial. It talks about Jesus meeting a centurion. And the centurion comes to Jesus like many people in that day did. Jesus was doing what couldn't be explained. Jesus was performing miracles. Jesus was interacting with the natural law, doing unnatural things. And so all of a sudden, the centurion comes to him and he says, Jesus, my servant is ill and will die unless you intervene. What does Jesus say in Matthew 8? He says, let me go to your house. And this guy says, whoa, hold on. I'm not worthy to have you in my home. But I am a man who gives commands. I say to this one, go there, and he goes there. I say to that one, go over here, and he goes over there. He says, just simply speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 8? He says, I tell you the truth, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. It was substantial. It was able to be measured. It was quantifiable. It was kind of interesting that Jesus could say, you know what, here is faith, and I measure it, and it's great. Go on in that chapter, and you'll see that shortly after that, Jesus and his disciples all pile into a boat. Jesus has had a day of healing. You can only imagine. Everybody wants a piece of him. He is tired. He falls asleep at the end of the boat. And they're crossing the lake, and all of a sudden, in that region, in the Sea of Galilee, there's great winds that would come in, and storms could move in a second. And all of a sudden, the fishermen, who are really great at their job, start to get scared. And if a fisherman's scared and you're on a boat, you should probably be scared too. But Jesus is sleeping, and Peter's like, who roofied the Lord? Like, man, we got to wake him up. Like, we're all going to go down. We're all going to lose our life. And then they wake up Jesus, and what does Jesus say to them? He says, O ye of little faith. We see great faith. We see little faith. We see faith is measured. Why? Because it's substantial. Amazing truth. That is there, that there's something for us to take hold of. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're a believer or not a believer, have you taken hold of your faith? If God was to measure it today, would it be found great? Or would it be found lacking? So faith goes on. It's not just our birth. It's not just substantial, but faith goes against all human nature. You know, faith doesn't work in the realm of reason, does it? In fact, it often asks for the unreasonable, like that joke where the guy is saying, you know what? God says, let go. What? Let go, I'll catch you. No! Can I see some ID, please? All right? And all of a sudden, faith asks you to do the unreasonable. Right? And that's a hard thing for us to understand, but that's why faith is so scary, and that's why so many take so long to be convinced to start the journey, to take that first leap of faith. But faith shows itself in the testing. Faith is a product of the hard times when the heat comes on, when the rubber meets the road. It's designed for those pressure moments. That's what makes it faith, and everything else is falling apart. That's when faith is called upon. Do you have it? Do you have it? Because there are those who fall apart when things fall apart. And as a believer, that's not what you're called to do. And here's the beauty of it, right? When you can't, God proves that he can. That's why we're called to test and see that the Lord is good. Goes against human nature. But faith demands a response. And sometimes the responses are varied. Sometimes God asks you to hold on. He doesn't ask you to let go at all. Hold on. Oh, Lord, I can't. My arms are tired. Hold on. Lord, I can't. Please, you just got to let. Hold on. And in those moments when God asks you to hold on, you find out that you're way stronger than you thought you were. Because faith will bridge you to the places that you never thought you could go. And then sometimes the responses are absolutely terrifying. Where God doesn't ask you to hold on at all. He says, just let go and I'll catch you. And you're going, oh, man, you've got to be kidding me. Who is the guy that told me to go to church and Jesus would solve all my problems? My problems are bigger now. That's why I never tell you about rose-colored glasses. I always tell you that the leap of faith begins a journey that will never, ever be boring, but is filled with trials, but God is bigger than them all. Is it going to get hard? Yeah, but he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. Is it going to get dark? Yeah, but he's your light. What if I get lost? Well, he's the path. He's the way. You see, he's still the answer for all that is before us, for all that is unknown. But make no mistake, once we start this road of faith, it demands a response. And here's the beauty in that. Once we experience the tangible side of faith, we learn that we can trust in a way that the world considers reckless. Did you ever hear that? Something different about that guy. I'm not just talking about your cousin Bob, right? Every family has those guys. They're a little different, right? But you know, people should be thinking there's something different about you too if you're a person of faith. Because you don't worry about what they worry about. Do you understand that I know I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof? That's why I do some of the things I do and go some of the places that I go. You say, Andrew, I've seen you into heated arguments with great big fellers. Yeah. If God asked me to get into an argument with great big fellers, a bigger guy's got my back than the bigger guy that's standing in front of me. Faith doesn't go with human nature. It often goes against human nature. And it always demands a response. But you see, faith allows a response that the world can't fathom because the world is no longer my standard. You might have read this somewhere, but the natural world is broken. It's this little thing called sin. The natural world isn't my standard. The spiritual world is my standard. I'm not a human being who's enjoying a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual being who's getting through the human experience. You see the difference that faith makes? 2 Corinthians 5:7, for I live by faith, not by sight. Are you there? That you can live by faith and not by sight, that there's this test of life that comes with faith, and pretty soon, if you test it, faith becomes your standard. It's no longer the natural world that you're worried about. It's the spiritual world that you obey. You see, faith grows when you put it to use. It's like the seed that's planted. That there's a cause and effect in this idea of faith. Once you believe that you can get out of the boat like Peter did in Matthew 14, right? Remember that story? Again, another situation where a storm comes up. Things are going crazy. This time, Jesus had stayed on the other side. Now the disciples are alone. There's nobody to wake up so that he can calm the sea. So they're panicking and filling their drawers. Okay, that's Andrew's version. You won't find that last part in the word, right? They were scared. Let's just believe there, right? Make matters worse, what do they see? One fella goes, oh. And Peter's going, would you shut up? I'm trying to save our lives. Oh. He's going, just leave me alone. Oh. And Peter looks and he goes, oh, because they see something walking on the water. It's a ghost. No, it's Jesus. What does Jesus do? Jesus comes walking on the water. And let me tell you, the storm became secondary. And what does Jesus say? They go, hey, if it's really you, we've heard ghost stories, we have ghost stories we tell. If it's really you, Jesus, tell us to come to you. And what does Jesus say? He says, come. What does Peter do? He hops over the edge of the boat. Are you kidding me? That's not a logical moment. And as long as Peter focused on Jesus, what happened? He was walking on the water. But as soon as he focused on the waves and the wind, what happened? He started to sink, but it was okay because Jesus reached out and he grabbed him and he picked him up and he said, come with me. And he brought him back to the boat. And after he was in the boat and safe, what did Jesus say? He said, let's calm her down again. And they still needed to change their shorts. You see, as you use faith, it grows. It's the seed that is planted. Get this, your faith increases as a result of its results. Did you catch that? Faith will increase as a result of its results. Faith used equals faith increased. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. What a beautiful way of saying that when we find Jesus, he illuminates the darkness, and by him we see all. But C.S. Lewis was talking about the physical sun, the ball of burning gas, and just as we can expect that to come up and rise every morning, he said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Look at the beautiful analogy of how faith helps us to see. Do you use it? Or are you living in the darkness? Because faith brings new vision. It changes your view. It grants you a bigger perspective. It becomes your new normal. We talked about it last week in the leaders course. That beautiful quote by Martin Luther. He said, we're saved by faith alone, but if faith is alone, it's not faith at all. You see, faith changes you. It grows, it reproduces, it bears fruit. I was thinking of the kids all those times. I have tried so hard to be there for my kids' lives every step of the way. It didn't matter if they were learning to drive a bike or throw a ball or shoot a gun. I want it to be a part of it all, right? People listen on the podcast. We're a rural community. Shooting guns are normal here. Don't write me letters. I'm probably not going to read them. Okay. But I was thinking of these little things. You know the science store in the malls? Those little things where you can buy little object lessons and teach your kids about science, the little capsules. I was thinking about that. Faith is like those little capsules. You take those little capsules and you throw them into a little ball of water. And what happens over the night, that water is absorbed by that capsule. And all of a sudden, this great big sponge turns into something. Usually it was a dinosaur or a lobster or whatever you want it, right? And the kids were fascinated by that. That this one thing, this one little thing could turn into something so much big and more beautiful and colorful. And I said, yeah, but you know what? That's our faith. That's an illustration of our faith, that if we would use it, then all of a sudden it would expand and it would grow and it would become so much bigger than we ever thought, so much more beautiful than we could ever understand. But there's a confidence that comes, there's a hope that comes, there's an assurance that comes, even when we don't see, and it doesn't make sense to the logical world, but the logical world is broken and is no longer our standard. So once faith is birthed, you change. Your vision changes, your priorities change, and everything around you, because you start to see differently, don't you? I expected an amen there. Don't you see differently? After Christ, you see differently? Bernard Manning said this. He said, "We define ourselves radically as one beloved by God. This is the true self. Every other identity is an illusion." I love that saying. So think about this. He's saying when we come to faith, we see things differently. We're no longer products of evolution. We're beloved. We're no longer here by chance. We're beloved and have purpose. We're no longer an accident. Right? You hear those kids that were an accident? It's not true. Parents may have been careless, but it has nothing to do with your purpose. To see ourselves as beloved, that's our true self. And you think about this, in our day and age when everybody is struggling to search out an identity, what do I identify? Who do I identify with? If you would identify with Jesus Christ, then you would find your truest self, because you were made by God for God. Identify with God and everything else will fall into place. Now that's a truth the world doesn't want to hear. We could get picketed next week because of that. That's okay. We'll take them out coffee. Hopefully it's warmer than this coffee. I just remembered I had this coffee. I'm going to take another drink of it. You see, faith, when activated, gives us new vision. Faith, when activated, helps us see things differently. That we understand that regardless of our present interaction on the timeline, we understand that we are bigger than the timeline because we are His beloved. And if God has no end, then now neither do you have an end. And I would say this, that you know what? Faith takes you beyond, again, that bridge to beyond, beyond what is seen and understood, beyond the logical, beyond the reasonable, beyond your comfort zone. It's the thing that allows you to step out of the boat and to travel beyond where you've traveled before, and it takes you to new territory. And after you experience the new territory, that becomes your standard, and you refuse to settle for anything less. That's the impact that faith can have on your life. It's beyond. Beyond what? Beyond everything. Beyond anything that you would ever attempt on your own. It leads to a new reality, a new plane of existence, beyond the world that you are now participating in. St. Thomas Aquinas said this, "To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible." It's the door in which we open to a completely new world, and it's beyond. Beyond what? Beyond everything. Have you experienced it? Are you living there? Because, whoa, it's beautiful, and it's big, and it takes you places you would never dream. And once you see those results, faith influences your behavior. You see, faith is also transformative. Faith transforms you. It changes you. It changes your responses, your priorities, your choices, your perspectives. It changes the way you live and how people see you. James talks about it in chapter 2, verses 14 and following. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not that is not accompanied by actions is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. It changes you. You know, that's why you see differences. And again, this isn't coming down on anybody, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but churches that are active and alive and loving their community and making a difference is because of faith. But there are some churches out there that if they were to close tomorrow, nobody would even notice. That saddens me. I sure don't want to be one of those churches. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a family of faith. I want to be a church of faith. Why? Because church will be different if we are people of faith. It'll change everything we do. That's why Christians should be different. Again, people should think you're different. Something different about that person. It's not the way you eat ketchup or what you put mustard on. Something different about that person. Why? Because when the world is falling apart, you're not falling apart. When people are panicking all around you, you're not panicking. When the world doesn't seem to make sense, you still have a peace because you have a foundation that is unshakable. It's the same reason why people went out to the wilderness to see John the Baptist. It says that he wasn't, right, a reed blowing in the wind. His teaching was solid. His personality was solid. His integrity was solid. And if you don't think that's rare, then you're not watching much politics today, because integrity is a thing that the world doesn't know anymore. Like, who here believes a politician when they open their mouth? Because you got problems if you do. Because you know what? They don't come through. They make all these promises. And when do the promises happen? They don't. So think about that. That's the standard that we live, right? The midst that we live in. What if a man or woman was to do what they say? Do you think that would stand out? Wow. Does it stand out? You should be different. It changes. Changes what? Changes everything. That when we're saved, truly saved, it changes us. And it's by their fruit they shall think we are strange. Right? The Bible calls us a peculiar people. Why? Because we do things differently. When we meet a living God, it changes us. If you guys know I love history. How many know who I'm talking about when I say Bonhoeffer? Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Whew. A pastor, World War II, Germany. Put a guy in there who loves God and is following him, and he stands against Hitler and watch the fireworks. Woo! Anyway, you want to read some cool history, read about Bonhoeffer. It's kind of cool. But he said this. He said, God has prepared for himself one great song of praise throughout eternity. And those who enter the community of God, join in this song. You're going to be different. You're going to join in his song, people. You're going to be different. You're going to join in his song. It is the song that the morning stars sang together with all the sons of God shouted for joy at the creation of the world. It is the victory song of the children of Israel after passing through the Red Sea, the worship of Mary after the Annunciation, the song of Paul and Silas the night in prison, the song of the singers of the Sea of Glass after their rescue, the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. We see faith changes you. Because you join in the song. When we were worshiping, Jade bouncing around and dancing to worship thrilled my heart, and it filled me up to full and overflowing, and I don't need anything else this week, I think. She was joining in the song. And when we join in the song of God, everything changes around us. Our perspective changes. Our vision changes. Our dreams change. Our speech changes. Our thinking changes. Our actions change because we join in his great song. And all the world hears you sing. It changes you. Faith changes you. Do you have it? Everybody bow your heads. Whew, I'm warm. That's not new. I'm going to drink some cold coffee because I don't want it to go to waste and I'm cheap. That cup is really big. Oh, that was really good. Close your eyes. Faith. Do you have it? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor? I have never taken that leap of faith. Now you're here. Maybe you're here because of a loved one. Maybe you're here because you were invited. Maybe you're here because you've been investigating for a while, but you've never ever taken that leap of faith, which tells me that faith has never been birthed in you. I want to tell you that it's crazy, it's scary, and you will never regret it for a day in your eternity. Not one day will you regret if you take a leap of faith with God. Everything gets turned upside down. What's logical is no longer your standard. You're no longer bound by the laws of the natural world because you start to live in a spiritual world. And let me tell you that once faith is birthed, as you use it, it grows, and it takes you to unbelievable places. Do you need it today? Taste and see that God is good. What does that verse mean? It means challenge him. If you've never taken that leap of faith, I want to challenge you today to take a leap of faith. Taste God. See if he's good. Test him. If what you're doing is working for you and you are at peace, then hey, don't worry about God. If you're doing fine on your own, have at her. Let me know when you hit the bottom of the barrel or the end of the rope, because that will come, because life is cruel. But when life gets cruel and it gets hard, God is enough. And if you are there and you need to take that leap of faith, I want you to let it be birthed in you today. I want you to plant the seed. I want you to say, God, I don't know the way, but you proclaim to be the way. God, everything I do makes a mess, but you pledge to have a plan. So God, no longer me, I want you to live in me. No longer my way, I want your way. No longer am I the king of my life, I want you to be the king of my life. That's all you need, just something. Pray, ask God, and you will receive. You know, if you've done that today, I want you to tell somebody. Maybe you're listening online. I want you to send me an email or Facebook message and say, hey, Andrew, you know what? I started my journey of faith. I did that leap. I asked God to forgive my sins. I asked God to take over my life. If you did that, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to bug you. If you got questions, that's fine. I'll do my best to answer them. But I want to pray for you. But I think the majority listening today, because you're here and you're here each week, you are already people of faith. But I want to know if you're using it. I meet a lot of Christians that are dusty. You know what I'm saying? They are dusty. You go to kiss them, it's like, it's just dusty. You know what I'm saying? That's a funny thing. If I have a professor who's listening from university, he'll think that that's hilarious. There was one whole, anyway, it doesn't matter. You don't know what I'm talking about. I don't want you to be dusty, I guess is what I'm saying. You have faith because you have Jesus, but you haven't been using it lately. Maybe you're not living the adventure. You're settling for boring. It hurts my heart when I see believers without an act of faith. Why would you settle for less? You say, Andrew, the mountain is so big. Have faith and watch it move. Andrew, the giant is just too scary. Have faith and watch him die. Because if God calls you to it, he's going to bring you through it. Oh, that you would activate your faith. You know, maybe you've become comfortable. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that God calls you to comfortable. He does call you to a life of peace, a peace that's unshakable, a peace of a different essence. It does call you to that, but it never calls you to comfortable. In fact, it says it's going to get uncomfortable if you're a person of faith. The trials will come, but he's bigger than the trials, see. If you are here and your spiritual life is dusty, my prayer for you is that God would shake you, shake the dust off your faith, and make it active once again. Is that scary? Darn right. Is it exciting? Woo! Yes. There's no such thing as a boring Christian life. No such thing. It doesn't exist. If you're living that, you need some shaking. Do you understand? Ask him. God, would you shake off the dust? Would you make me a warrior of faith? Would you help me to stop questioning and stop arguing and start listening and being found in obedience unto you? God, let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. Lead the way. I hope that that's your prayer if you're a believer today. And if you're not a believer today, then I hope your prayer was that you would invite him into your life and you would take that leap, that birth of salvation. Let's pray. Father God, it's been long enough. I'm out of coffee. If they ain't got it, they ain't been listening. Let them go back on the podcast and hear it again. But Father, I pray that as we start this series of faith, that we would see mountains move. Lord, I get excited because really, that's not an exception for me. I see mountains move all the time. Like, I live in a state of miracles. Father God, I can't understand why anybody wouldn't want that. Is it scary? Sure. Crazy amazing. Wouldn't trade the adventure for anything less than. Father God, I pray that you would call us to be a people of faith, active in our faith, using our faith, growing that faith, living in the confidence, the assurance, the hope. Oh, Lord, would we be found there, right? We'd be found in that place of peace, right? In the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Let us be found there, God. Let it be faith. In the weeks that are ahead, I pray that you'd stretch us, you'd challenge us, and you'd take us to brand new territory. I pray all these things in the incredible name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, guys. If you've got an offering for Shaylee, just drop it in the bucket. The tellers are going to take that and kind of make sense of it and make sure that everything gets to where it needs to go. God bless you and live in his blessing all this week. We'll see you next week.